kids being sick. And so we're just going to get right into our message this morning. And so if you would, take your Bibles and let's turn to Luke in chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. And whenever you find your place there, if you wouldn't mind to stand for the honor of the Word of God this morning as we get into our message, continuing in our series in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. We'll start our reading in verse number 12, where Luke says this. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Isn't that true? Yep. Serve a mighty God. Verse 13. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So we're going to pray ourselves, and we're going to get into this message. And the title is this, Be Thou Clean. I don't think anybody here has leprosy, but we all do need to be clean, don't we, before our God? And so we're going to look into that this morning. Well, thank you so much for the great day you've given us. Thank you for letting us be in your house this morning, and just for the time we've already enjoyed in fellowship and in singing to you. You're so worthy of that. And God, I ask your help as we get into your word this morning. I pray that you would help me as I declare it. Give me clarity of thought, please, and just really remove me out of the way. And Lord, speak in a way that we can understand and that we can make a change and do what you called us to do this morning. Help us have hearts that are open, ready to receive your word. Christ in my prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. And so when we get to Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, Luke starts off with this, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city. So Luke doesn't really tell us exactly where this all happened and exactly when all of this happened. But as always, as we can assume, there were no doubt crowds, big crowds, as we learned, right? We've learned that big crowds were pressing on Jesus. Remember last week when the crowds were pressing on him so much that he had to get in Peter's boat and push off from the land? And so no doubt there were crowds still following and listening to, first of all, his preaching. Remember, they were just blown away by the way he preached the word of God and taught them, but also watching him heal people, watching him cast out demons. And so he's walking through, no doubt, you're still in Galilee, at some place, and the Bible says that it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, that word behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so Luke says, behold. Now, behold isn't a word that we use a lot today, but really it carries around the idea of something shocking happened. Behold, it's like Luke was saying, Theophilus, you won't believe it. A leper came to Jesus. Behold, a leper came to Jesus. So, okay, why is he making such a big deal about this? Why does it matter so much that a leper would come to Jesus? Well, if you know anything about leprosy, it was a horrible disease. Now, there's still leprosy today. It's not as rampant as it was in the ancient times, but today what we call leprosy is also known as Hansen's disease, and we can't really be for sure if it's the same exact disease as what we're talking about here, because, you know, throughout the ages, diseases just morph and change, and immunities change, and so diseases can then change form, and sometimes they can be altogether eliminated, so we can't be for sure, but they're definitely very similar as what we know as leprosy today and what the Bible described as leprosy in the Bible. Now, if you are hungry this morning, we're about to fix that, okay? You won't be sorry. I I studied leprosy for about 2 hours, and it, whoa, okay? So anyways, we're not going to tell you all that you need to know. No, we're not going to tell you all that you can know about leprosy, but I need to tell you some things that you need to know, okay? And so just bear with me on this, all right? Okay. But so anyway, leprosy, there's a description of it in Leviticus chapter 13, and we're not going to go and turn there just for sake of time. But it's very similar to, again, like what we know about as Hansen's disease. It was a horrible disease that found its way into Israel's life. And most likely, Israel picked up leprosy in Egypt. They actually found mummies from Egypt, ancient Egypt, that had leprosy. They were preserved well enough, you can tell, that some Egyptian mummies had it. And so it was definitely around in an ancient time. And most likely what happened is it was there in Egypt. And while Israel was enslaved there for 400 years, along the way, they picked up this nasty disease and they carried it with them through the wilderness and all the way into the promised land, and made it all the way, and you know, years, thousands of years until Jesus was on the scene, okay? And so it stuck with them for a while. And so It would first affect the skin, okay? And so primarily at first it was a skin disease, it looked like, but it would soon, after it got onto the skin, it would soon move into the nervous system, okay? And then what would happen is eventually the nerve endings in the body of a man with leprosy would begin to be killed, and they would be numb. So if you've known anything about leprosy, trying not to, you know, but it, you know, there's graphic in body parts fall off and it's gross. And I thought it was like a, you know, one of those like flesh-eating bacteria things. Well, it's not really that. What happens is it's kind of interesting. So again, it starts on your skin and then it goes beneath your skin and it gets to your nervous system, and then you're numb where you don't feel any pain at all. You don't feel pain, at least in your extremities. And that sounds like a good thing, except pain is actually helpful in a lot of ways. And so if you're walking and you rub your toe on the ground, you have sandals, you're like, ouch, and you fix how you walk. Well, a leper wouldn't know. And they would just keep walking. And eventually they'd rub off toes and stuff, or they would, you know, get burnt and they wouldn't know it. And so they would, all these things would happen. They would become mangled just because of that at first. And then it would get into their bone marrow and into their eyes and into their ears. And on it went to their teeth and their internal organs. And what I'm telling you is it got worse and worse and worse, and they would become mangled, okay? Are you following? You know, I think I said enough for you to know that leprosy in that time was a horrible disease, it was a feared disease, and it was very easily spread, and so they took this very seriously. And also there's this, there's no cure. And by the way, there's still no cure for leprosy. They do have a cocktail of like antibiotics that kind of help with it to keep it at bay, but there's no cure for leprosy. And so often leprosy wouldn't often kill a person, but it would stay with them until they died, mostly. Okay? And so actually there was a Syrian general named Naaman back in 1 Kings or 2 Kings. We were not going to turn there. You can turn there if you want. We'll read one verse out of 2 Kings 5. But there was a Syrian general named Naaman who got leprosy, and he knew what leprosy did to people. It wasn't just Israel who had it. It was all throughout the region, and he knew what leprosy did, and he heard about the God of Israel, and someone told him about the man of God in Israel, and maybe he can help. Well, that was Elisha, the man of God. So what he does is he goes to the king, Naaman does. He goes to the king of Israel, and he says, look, I have this disease, this leprosy, and I heard you have a man of God, and I want my leprosy fixed. I want it healed. And the king says this, verse 7, he says, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? And so what that tells us is this, there was no cure for leprosy. Here's what the king said, only God can forgive leprosy. You see, only God can, if someone is cured from leprosy, God did that, because there was no cure for it. And it wasn't something you just got over. Only God can cure leprosy. And so finally, Naaman did make it to the man of God, Elisha, and God did cure Naaman of his leprosy, and he had to dip in the water and all of that. I think it was Miriam who was struck with leprosy, and then God healed her. But every time we see someone healed of leprosy, it was always a miracle of God directly healing somebody. Are you following? Okay. And so it was, but most of the time, without a miracle from God, a leper would get worse and worse, and then they would eventually die with leprosy. So the disease was so horrible. So what God did when he gave the law of Moses in Leviticus 13, he taught the people how to deal with it. There's actually two chapters that deal with how to deal with leprosy and what happens if someone is cured. And we're not going to turn there again. We're just going to give you the high points because it's very technical and actually kind of gross in some of it, okay? Anyway, so, but basically here's what happened. And if someone was thought to have leprosy, they were to come to the priest. And so the priest would be trained in how to diagnose. And there is a certain protocol very, very clearly laid out in Leviticus 13 about how to find out if it truly was leprosy. And as we said, you know, leprosy would start on the skin. So there'd be this skin rash. And they would come to the priest. And the priest would examine the skin rash. And if it didn't look like the infection was deeper than the skin, here's what they do. They would isolate him and do all these different things. And effectively, for 14 days, they would isolate this guy. And if the infection faded or if it went away or if it was getting better, then he would say he is clean. He doesn't have leprosy because leprosy doesn't go away. Leprosy doesn't get better. But if the rash did spread further and if it began to go deeper than the skin and talks about white hairs and we don't need to, yeah. But anyway, if it gets worse after 14 days and you can tell, then they would diagnose him as with leprosy and the man would be then pronounced unclean, okay? He has leprosy, he is unclean. That's what it says in Leviticus 13. And so then there are also some more obvious cases. Not always was it just a skin rash. If someone came and maybe they waited too long, you know, you had a skin rash, I don't know if I want to go to the priest, you know, because what if it's leprosy and I'm going to be stuck for 14 days? So I would imagine a lot of people would wait too long and the disease would spread and bad things would happen. So sometimes they'd come to the priest and we don't need to do the two-week thing. You got leprosy, okay? And they would be pronounced unclean. And so, by the way, there's a reason I'm telling you all this, all right? But, and so that's how it would go. And there's just a lot of other details that we're not going to get into this morning. But the point is this, is that they took leprosy very, very seriously. One, because it was a serious thing. Two, God told them to, right? And so they took it seriously. What's most important for our study today is what would happen for somebody when they were diagnosed with leprosy. And so Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46 say this. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip. So that just means like this, you know, so he can call out. And he'll cry, unclean, unclean. That was a command from God. If someone was leprous, they would rip their clothes, so it would be obvious. They would shave their head, they had this covering, and they were commanded by Leviticus to yell, unclean, unclean. And all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. And so it was discovered, actually, whenever we found out and named it Hansen's disease, and they were able to study it in the 1800s sometime, they found out that often leprosy would spread through the air. Through the air. And so that would explain why the people would need to cover their mouth and yell, unclean, unclean, so the people would know to stay away. And then they would put them in these leper camps, these leper colonies, and they were to be separated from society so as not to infect the rest of Israel with leprosy. Are you seeing? This is the Levitical law. Well, then the Jews of the day, of Jesus' day, actually added more laws to it. And they said in their law, their Talmud, that the lepers, if you were a leper, you couldn't get within 6 feet of people. That was part of it. If you saw somebody with leprosy, you stay at least 6 feet away. Interesting number. And then if there was windy, 150 feet away. So if it's windy outside and you see a leper, you stay 150 feet away. And again, it's because they took it very seriously, didn't they? They did not want to spread this thing. Yeah. And so when someone was found to have leprosy, they were declared unclean. No one was allowed to touch them, and they were put out of the city. Are we following? You're doing good? All right. But that wasn't it. Because on top of all of that, they were also ceremonially unclean. What is that all about? What's unclean and clean? Well, clean and unclean is talking about if you're able to enter the temple or not. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was in the temple, and if you wanted to worship God, you needed to go to the temple. And if you were unclean, you weren't able to enter the temple. And if you were clean, you were able to enter. The reason is because we can't just come to God however we want, right? We gotta cleanse ourselves, and we come to God, but He wants us to be clean, right? And He'll cleanse us. And so whenever the person was made clean again, then they can enter the temple. And so that means that these lepers were not able to enter the temple. They were not able to sacrifice to God, and they couldn't enter the presence of God. Now, why would God do all that? Well, practically, you don't want to spread leprosy in the temple, one thing. But it was more than that, wasn't it? Because leprosy became, now whether or not it was the intent, the beginning, or if it just over time became this, it for sure became a picture of sin. Leprosy became a picture of sin. Because, well, think about it. At first, sin doesn't really seem like a big deal. It's a rash, right, at first. But then what happens is sin begins to defile the entire body, doesn't it? It begins to get in deep. It begins to infect the very central part of your body and your life. And sin is ugly. And by the way, sin will make you numb, won't it? It'll make you numb to how it's destroying you. And you're living in sin and you're doing these things and you convince yourself, oh, it's not a big deal. All the while you're hurting yourself and everybody around sees that you're rubbing your foot on the ground and you're gnawing off your toe or whatever. And they're watching you hurt yourself and you're like, oh, it's not a big deal. I can't even feel it. Sin does that, doesn't it? Sin makes you dumb, doesn't it? And sin kind of blinds you from how you're even hurting your own life. Yeah. Yeah. Sin is, by the way, incurable by man, isn't it? Nobody can cure sin except for God. Sin contaminates. Sin separates. And so a leper would not only suffer from this disease itself, he would not only be ostracized from society, but he was a walking illustration of sin. See? Are you seeing it? And now knowing what you know, look again at our verse 12, where it says, and it came to pass when Jesus is in a certain city, and he says, behold. This is a big deal, isn't it? Behold, a leper full of leprosy, a man full of leprosy who's seen Jesus fell at his feet. That was a big deal. And Luke said he was full of leprosy. That means that it wasn't the beginning stages. He was well past where it can be hidden in just a rash. He was mangled. It was obvious. This man was a leper. And so we're going to learn some things about this leper who came to Jesus. Now, remember the scene, the crowds? For him to get to Jesus, he was going to have to pass through all of this. And so we're going to look at this account, and we're going to learn some things from this leper. The first thing about this leper is this. He was desperate, wasn't he? Well, the leper was desperate. He came through the crowds to see Jesus, even though everybody else would be upset about that. I know I wouldn't be so excited if a man with leprosy just rushed by me to go see Jesus. And so but here's the deal. He knew, listen, the man with leprosy knew he had a very deep need. He knew it. He knew he had a deep need. And everybody would have been upset watching him go through the crowd to see Jesus. But listen, he cared more about being made clean than he did about his reputation. He cared more about being made clean than he cared about what people thought of him. He needed to be made clean. He needed to be made clean. He knew his need. He didn't care what anybody else thought about it. You see? Are you following? That's one. The next thing is this. The leprous man was reverent. The Bible says he fell down on his face saying, Lord. And so he didn't just fall on his face because he was weak. He fell on his face before Jesus. Why? Because he recognized that Jesus deserved reverence. He understood who Jesus was. He knew that he was in the presence of God, and he did not deserve to be there. So that's what true worship is, isn't it? True worship isn't jumping around and being amped up and excited and jumping and up here. That's not worship. Worship isn't up here. Worship is down here. When you understand who God is, worship has you bow low. Worship is humbling. In fact, in the Bible, oftentimes when you talk about worship, the posture was down. They would bow. They would bow low, reverently. Yeah. So he reverenced and he worshiped Jesus. It's interesting to know this too, that Jesus led him. You notice that? Jesus let him worship him. You know, angels along the way, when God would send an angel and they would give a message, and an angel is a spirit being from God, and the angel would come and give the message, oftentimes we find that people will try to worship the angel. What do the angels say? Get up. Well, you only worship God. You don't worship me. And if Jesus was just some spirit being sent from God, then he shouldn't be letting people worship him. But Jesus is God, and he's able to accept worship. You see? That's interesting. But this man bowed and he worshiped Jesus. He understood who he was talking to. The next one is kind of related to it, but he was humble. He was humble. He said, and he besought him. Besought him means begged. It has the idea of, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be at your feet. I don't deserve that you would even look at me. I don't deserve that you would talk to me. I don't deserve that you would make me clean. But he says, if thou wilt, right? Saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so he's not demanding, is he? He's not coming to Jesus, hey, you healed them, and you healed them, and I saw you fix their life, I saw you fix their life, and I saw what you did in their life, and I want that too. He didn't do that. You know there are people who do that. They come to Jesus and say, look, I saw what you did in his life, I saw how you fixed their life, and you know what, I'm going to come to church, I'm going to start doing this, I'm going to start being faithful, I'm going to start reading my Bible, you know what, God, here's why I'm doing it, because you need to fix my life. That wasn't the leper, was he? He's dead. You say, God, Lord, if thou wilt. No. So he was humble, if you're willing. And the last is this, the leprous man had faith in. Because what did he say? He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew that Jesus could heal him. He knew it. Even though, listen, that's a big deal. Do you remember what leprosy is? Remember what we said? There's no cure for it. No one's cured of leprosy. And he knew, he was confident that Jesus could do it. You know, there's no problem in your life that's so big that Jesus can't fix it. Jesus is more powerful than whatever you're facing in your life. And this man knew that. There are probably a lot of lepers who are like, oh man, Jesus is walking by, but yeah, I mean, I saw him heal the guy who was blind. I saw him heal the guy who was crippled and all that, but there's no way he can help us. Wrong. This leper knew Jesus could do it, didn't he? He knew that. And by the way, he knew he couldn't do anything about it. The leper knew there was nothing he can do about his own leprosy. He knew nobody else could help him. He knew there was no doctors that was going to bring the right medication to fix it. But he was convinced that Jesus could heal him. And even though he didn't deserve it, listen, even though he didn't deserve it, he knew Jesus could make him clean. And by the way, you know, Luke, we said, he's very selective and very thoughtful about the accounts that he brings up, you know, that he, because he, I mean, John said, if we wrote down everything Jesus did, all the healings, all the things, I mean, we wouldn't have enough time or space to write everything Jesus did. So Luke was very selective. And so Luke could have picked any healing, I guess, in that time, but he chose leprosy. Why? Because leprosy was very unique in the sense that leprosy made you unclean. You notice he didn't say, you can heal me. You notice that? He said, thou can make me clean. You know, he was obviously interested in being healed. He was. But he recognized he had a bigger problem than just his body. Right? He was interested in being made clean. What does that mean? Well, that means I want to go to the temple. I want to be in the presence of God. And in my condition, I don't deserve to be in his presence. In my condition, I can't be in his presence. But I know you can make it to where I can be in his presence. That's not the same as a blind man, right? Or anything else. Or not anything. But leprosy was special in that life. It was unique. But he knew that. He didn't deserve it. And he knew that Jesus could do it. That's faith. Faith says this: God, I know that I can't do this, but I know, and I know I don't deserve it, but I know you can. That's faith, isn't it? That's how faith works. Yeah. And so, what did Jesus do? Well, he healed him, didn't he? He healed the man with a touch and a word. Look at verse 13. With a touch and a word. And he put forth his hand and touched him. You got to hear that, right? Do you hear the crowds? When he reached out his hand, this leprous man, leprosy is a big deal. I think sometimes when we read stories like this, we forget what leprosy is. It's a huge deal, and they're taking it seriously. And this man has made it through the crowd, and everyone's freaked out, and everyone's trying to stay 6 feet away at least. And if it's windy, they're booking it, right? 150 feet, and they're staying far, far away. And Jesus, and he comes and talks to Jesus, which they're probably upset about that anyways. And here's what Jesus does out of compassion. He touches him. And everyone, you have to know, gasped. They were shocked. They maybe were even appalled that Jesus would do that. And then he said, I will. I am willing. Look what it says. I will be thou clean. You say, well, wait, hold on. Jesus is breaking the command. You're not supposed to touch a leper. Because that was part of it. If you touch a leper, then you're unclean. So you're not supposed to. Well, it was different for Jesus because the moment he touched him, he was clean. Amen? Yep. And Jesus has compassion on people. And Jesus sees people and he knows how unclean they are. He knows how rotten they are. He knows how rotten you are. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what you've done in the past. And you know that you don't deserve for him to touch you. You know you don't deserve for Jesus to use your life. You know you don't deserve to be in the presence of God. You know that you can't be used by God in any kind of way because of who you are, because of your sin, because of the things you've thought about, because of the things you've done. And you're right. But when Jesus touches you, you're clean. Amen? Blessing. He touched him. And he said, I will be thou clean. And here's what happened. Look what it says. It's a big word, but can you say it with me? And immediately. Immediately. There wasn't a big long process. There was no 6-month recovery period. There was no, you keep having faith and one day you'll be healed if you have enough faith. No, it wasn't any of that. It was immediate, wasn't it? Yeah. He was immediately and fully healed. And remember, what did Luke say about him? He said he was full of leprosy. You know what that means? That means he was mangled. That means very likely he had missing body parts. Okay? Like he was a mess. I'll stop there. There's other things that could have been wrong with this dude. And he was fully healed. Creatively. Fingers that were gone are back. You see, the skin. That, you know, it started as a little skin thing. By the way, you know, how I said it starts to affect your nervous system and all the organs. Well, the whole time that's all happening, it's still spreading on your skin. It's getting deep. It's nasty. Okay? And it would have been all over him. And immediately, totally, full, healed. Whole. That would have been incredible, wouldn't it have been? Yeah. Yeah. Everything was clean. It would have been an incredible thing for them to see. And now this part is hard. Look at verse 14. Jesus commanded the leprous man to tell nobody. What? Don't tell anybody? How? Look at what it says. And he charged him to tell no man. Don't tell anybody. Why? But go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for testimony unto them. And so there's a lot of reasons why maybe he said don't tell anybody. But really he says it right here, doesn't he? He says don't tell anybody. Why? Look at the last few words of verse 14. For a testimony unto them. Who's them? The priest. He said, go to the priest, and this will be a testimony unto them. Now remember, leprosy did not have a cure. Remember, when someone is cured of leprosy, who did it? God did it. And so if someone was truly healed of leprosy, there was this whole big process in Leviticus 14. Leviticus 13 was the explanation of what it was and how to diagnose it. 14 was what happened after someone was healed. And again, we're not going to turn there and read all the things, but I'll just tell you, just generally, here's what you did. If you were healed of leprosy, you'd go to the priest, they'd inspect you, make sure there wasn't any spots or whatever. And then here's what you do. You take two birds, and you would kill one of the birds, and then you'd have the blood. And then you would take cedar and scarlet and hyssop, put that in the blood, and then you would dip the live bird in the blood and then let it go. What's the deal? Well, it's a picture of resurrection, isn't it? That one died and one's, and then went back to life. There's a picture of that. And then they did all kinds of other stuff. The after that, the healed leper would have to wash himself, shave himself, and allow 7 days to pass. This is a long, big process, right? And then he would be re-examined just to make sure that nothing came back. And then after that, if he was still looking fine, then he would have to make sacrifices. And then with the blood of the sacrifice, he would have to put the blood of the sacrifice on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. And so it was just this whole big process. And after all of that, there was another examination. And then the leper was made clean. And he was allowed back into society, back to the temple. It was quite the process. And so that's what Jesus wanted him to do. He said, go to the priest, offer your sacrifices for your cleansing. Okay, so why? Well, a couple of reasons. Jesus wants people to obey the law of Moses. And Jesus hadn't died yet. The New Testament hadn't, you know, the Old Testament is still in full effect. And so he wanted him to obey the Bible and do what he was supposed to do. One. Two, he wanted him to be made clean, right? So that he can go to the temple. I mean, just be, like I said, the man was interested in being clean. Jesus healed his body, but now he's got to go get ceremonially clean so that he can go back into the temple. But that's not it either. Why did Jesus tell him, don't say anything to nobody? He says, you go straight to the priest. You don't say anything to anybody. Well, think about it. If this man doesn't tell anybody what happened to him, he goes straight to the priest. The priests pretty much know who the lepers are. And this leper shows up at the priest's, you know, where the priests are. And he says, I've been healed. Okay. Where's that ceremony again? How many times have they done this? And they pull out the scroll, and they find it, Leviticus 14, and they're following all the steps, and they're doing this whole thing, and they do the 7 days, and he's healed. What do they have to admit? God did that. And then, hey, priest. You want to know who did this? You following? Jesus of Nazareth did that. That would have been quite the testimony to them. They would have to admit, wouldn't they? Jesus is God. Only God can heal somebody. And Jesus did of leprosy. You see? Problem. The guy didn't do that. Bummer. He disobeyed. It's just like us, isn't it? Jesus heals us, and we just kind of go do whatever we want. It's alluded to in Luke because the crowds came, and if he didn't tell anybody, the crowds wouldn't have come. But Mark makes it clear, he confirmed, that he just disobeyed Jesus, and he just told everybody what happened. He goes around and tells everyone that Jesus healed him, and word made it back to Jesus. And see, here's the problem. As he's spreading the word would have made it back also to the priests. And by the time the guy made it to the priests, they weren't interested in examining him if Jesus did it. Are you following? And the testimony's kind of shot. Bummer. And so, what could have been an incredible testimony to the priests, it didn't work out because of the disobedience. But not only that, Mark says that the crowds grew. Actually, even here in Luke, he says in verse 15 that so much the more went the fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So obviously Luke is saying everybody found out about this. But Mark says that there were so many after that that Jesus could no longer enter the cities. There were so many people, and he had to go out into the regions outside of the cities, and still people continued to come and come and come. And so verse 16 says that Jesus escaped to the crowd to pray. And so now you're here this morning and you're wondering, okay, Pastor, so like, what was the point of all that? Why did we go through all that? Why did we talk about leprosy? Disgusting stuff. I'm trying to eat lunch after this. Well, I told you, God chose to use leprosy to illustrate this. Leprosy was one of the worst outward problems that man had. And God wanted Israel to know. He used leprosy for this purpose, to help them see you have a much worse problem than that. And that problem is sin. And sin is repulsive. Sin is destructive. Sin isolates you from those closest to you, doesn't it? Most of all, sin separates you from God, from the presence of God. And sin is incurable by man, isn't it? Sin is incurable by man. And there is nothing that you can do to fix your sin problem. And it's way worse than leprosy, because you might die with leprosy, but if your sin problem has been fixed, then you'll have an eternity with God. But if you can live a fully healthy life physically and have this sin problem, and if you die with that, then you have an eternity away from God. Someone with leprosy maybe can't enter the temple while they're on this earth, but there's a potential they can be with God for eternity. Someone that has a sin problem, they will be separated from God in a place called hell forever. And there's no amount of baptisms that can forgive your sins. There's no amount of rosaries that can forgive your sins. There's no amount of money that you can give that can cleanse you of your sin. And there's nobody on this earth that has the power or has the authority to fix your sin problem. No man has the authority to forgive your sins, and nobody has the authority to condemn you to hell. God does that, doesn't he? The priest couldn't heal anybody of leprosy. If someone had leprosy, they just couldn't go to the priest and have him do something and throw water on him and fix him. No, that didn't work. The priest's job was just simply this, to see if he was healed. You see? Only God could heal leprosy, and only God can forgive your sins. It doesn't matter how many good things you've done. It doesn't matter how much you try to hide your sin and cover up the rash. It's not going away. It's not going away. In fact, it's going to get worse and worse, and you're going to become more enthralled by this and more eaten by this, and it's going to affect more and more of your life, and it's going to become more and more destructive as you just ignore it. And if you die in your sin, then your sin will separate you forever from God in a very real place called hell. And people took leprosy very seriously, but I'm afraid there's a lot of people who aren't taking their sin very seriously. They don't really understand the ramifications, the destruction that sin causes. But Jesus is more powerful than your sin, isn't he? Yep. You need to come to Jesus the same way the leper came to Jesus. You need to recognize your desperate need to be made clean. It doesn't matter what people think of you this morning. Listen, it doesn't matter what people think of you. If you understand your need, if you understand, listen, if you're here this morning and you know in your heart that if you died, you would spend eternity in hell forever, I mean without end, forever and ever, if you knew that was true about yourself, then we need to get over what people think, and we need to do what we need to do to be made clean. That was a leper's mindset, wasn't it? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Your reputation isn't important right now. You need to be made clean. You need to humble yourself before an almighty God and understand that you have nothing to offer him. You have nothing to offer him, but you know he loves you anyways. And you know that he died on the cross for you. And you know that he can forgive you of your sin if he will. And he will, won't he? Jesus is willing that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. He will. You don't have to wonder like the leper did. You can know God wants to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it says this, shall be saved. Well, except if you have done, no, not in there. Whosoever shall call, shall, on the name of Jesus, shall be saved. Jesus didn't have to die on the cross for you, but he did. He's willing to forgive you. And if you call out to him this morning and you ask for forgiveness based upon what he did on the cross, not based upon any merit you have of yourself, you bow on your face recognizing you have nothing to offer, but Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins. And if you call out to him based upon that, here's what he'll do. He'll reach out for him. And he'll say, you're forgiven. He, thou, he. And immediately, you'll be made whole. It's not like now you have to go and fix everything. No, you're immediately fully forgiven of all your sin. Your relationship with God is fully there. The moment you're saved, God comes and he lives inside of you and he begins a relationship with you immediately. The second before you got saved, you were in darkness. You were on your way to hell forever. You were condemned by God. You were at enmity with God. And the second after you're saved, you're friends with God and you're a child of God and you're looking forward to an eternity with him. Again, not because of anything you've done. You couldn't do it if you wanted to. But because of what God did. You can be made fully whole. Yeah. For the rest of your life, you can come boldly, yet reverently, to the throne of God. You can pray to him. And you can walk with him. And you can talk with him. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about 10 seconds after you pray and you get up off your knees. You can walk and talk with God right then, immediately. Talk with him. You can do that. But you don't know what I've done. I know what God's done. Leprosy was the worst. It was no problem for Jesus. And I don't know what you've done or how bad you've messed up your life, but Jesus is more powerful than that. And when you pass from this earth, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you'll be with Jesus forever. You know, there are a lot of people around that say you can't really know if you're saved or not. Can't really know. You know, you just try hard, do your best, and hope that, you know, you'll be good enough that God will accept you. Listen, friend, you'll never be good enough. You will never be good enough that God's going to accept you. You're not good enough. In the eyes of God, you're a leper. Remember what Isaiah said, or Jeremiah? That the best we have to offer God is what? Filthy rags. Do you know what those rags are? That's the leper's rags. That's the pus and stuff that the leper would wrap around and then every day take off and put new because it filled up. And that rag is your goodness in the sight of God. You have nothing to offer him, but he loves you. And although our sin is repulsive, God reaches out and he touches and he says, I am willing. I will. But what we need to do is come humbly and ask him. See? Yeah. 1 John 5:13 says this, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know that you know that you have eternal life with God. It is not because you did something really good. He didn't say, these things I've written to you that you that have done a lot of really good things and go to church a lot and stuff, that you can know you have eternal life. That's not what he said. He said, these things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's all it takes. If you believe on what Jesus did, then you can know based upon the authority of the Word of God that you have eternal life. You can know that. You don't have to wonder about it. you can know that. Yeah. If you don't know that, I mean, if you don't know that you know that you know that this morning, why don't you come to the altar? We can show you what the Bible says about how that you can have your sins totally forgiven. You could be made clean immediately. You can leave this building and you can know that you know that you know that if you died on the way home, you'd be in heaven. You can know that. But you're going to need to come humbly before Him. You're going to have to not be worried about what everybody else thinks about it. Knowing that you have a sin problem, you deserve hell. Knowing by faith that Jesus is willing and He is able to save you. Then get settled. But if you are saved this morning, you've already been made clean, you've had your sins forgiven, now it's time to obey. Come on, leper. And he just went and immediately, and we do that, don't we? Immediately we just think we have a better idea than God. Jesus, I have to tell people. No, you need to obey. And, you know, a lot of people did hear, but it would have been a way better testimony. It would have been a way better testimony if you would have just obeyed Jesus. And if you're saved this morning, we need to obey God and live the life that God has called us to live and then be a testimony to the world. Because people need to know, don't they? People need to know. Here's how we tell them. We live out, we obey, and we tell people. We obey, and we tell people. Yeah. God is good. He's powerful. He's more powerful than anything that you face today. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know all your personal life. I don't know all that's going on in your mind, in your heart, your family. I don't know how bad you've messed up. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you've done, what you've thought about. Here's what I know. It's not as bad as leprosy. And Jesus can take care of that. And Jesus is more powerful than your problem this morning. And what you need to do is come before Him humbly and ask for Him to help. And He is Let's pray. God, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us. And that He shed His blood to pay a debt that He did not owe, and pay a debt that we can never pay. We're humbled by that. We're so thankful about that. And God, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know You, that they're not sure if they were to die this morning, if they would be with You forever or if they'd be in hell forever, they don't know. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give them Lord, courage to step out and to not worry about others' opinions or their reputation, but to step out and get it settled, to see their need to be clean. God, for us that are, thank You. Help us, God, to submit to Your way, obey Your word, follow You, and be a testimony. We love You. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's stand together.